All right, Chavosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Wonderful to have everyone with us in the Beis Medrash, Baruch Hashem. Wonderful to have everyone with us on Zoom. It's beautiful. I know a little bit easier today for the Chevra today with some coffee. I see a lot more smiles, open eyes. Good. Baruch Hashem. Wonderful to have everyone back. So let's begin. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. First of all, our Week of Learning sponsor, Steve and Terry Zinn, for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Steve's mother, Devorah Bas Yisrael, and with Hakara Satov to the entire Kehillah for the outpouring of support shown to their family during their time of need. To Aaron and Alana Weinberg, with deep gratitude to Hashem for Yonatan Shai Weinberg's complete refuah 9 years ago. Dr. Gabriel and Florence Gorel for dedicating the Shiurim this week, commemoration of the yard site of Esther Schwimmer, Esther Bas Avi Ezri Zelig Zichrono Livracha, the Gayson family for dedicating the Shiurim this week, memory of Dr. Alan Gayson Elio Ben Menachem Mendel HaKohen in commemoration of his first yard site, and the Daf Yomi today by Milt and Melanie Gertner in honor of Milt's brother Chaim Ben Getzel Zichrono Livracha on his 60th yard site. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamos will have an aliyah and the families in the chava. Thank you for the sponsorship. So, Rabbosai, with that, let us begin. So, we really have a great daf ahead of us today. Still continuing in the topic of muktzah, and we are picking up. We are picking up with Pekah Kachalos. So today's daf is Kuf Chav Vav 126, and we are picking up on 125b at the two dots. The second, it's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So Pekah Kachalos. Remember again, the Mishnah brought up the interesting discussion regarding a shutter, right? Regarding a shutter, and ultimately, again, trying to figure out halacha lemaisa. So what is the din of the shutter on Shabbos? So we had a machlokis about, does the shutter have to be attached, not attached, hang down? So we'll see all that in just a bit. First thing Gemara begins as follows. Amar Rabbi Aruchan, Rabbi Yochanan, Hakom Odin, Shein Osin Ohel Arai B'tchila B'yamtiv. Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, you cannot create an Ohel Arai. Now we'll say now, Ohel Arai means a temporary structure, a temporary tent. You cannot go ahead and create that on Yom Tov. Vein tzarach lomar b'Shabbos, and of course it goes without saying you can't create it on Shabbos either. Lo nechluku ela lahosif. For both to say, what's their machlokes? Their machlokes ultimately is, can you add on to an ohel arai on, or can you add on to an ohel arai? So I'll say, which means you have a temporary structure. You have a temporary structure. So can you go ahead and add on to that structure on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Look at Rashi just a moment. Lahosif, last Rashi and Amud Aleph. Kigon shahaya machatzelas prusa aleim ukrucha v'nisha bar avir ulamachar poshah. So the easiest example of this is you have like four posts and a covering on top of it, a roof. So can you go ahead and extend that or add on to that? So the Gemara says, Shabbalazar says you can't add on to it on Yom Tov, and all the more so you can't add on to it on Shabbos. Vechachamim omrim mosifin b'Shabbos v'inzarach lomar b'yomtiv. So we'll say, this is the machlokes. Can you go ahead and add on to it all around? Now this is coming up, we'll say, because the issue of shuttering a structure on Shabbos is potentially an issue of building, of binyan. So that's the shiloh here. So this actually has nothing to do with our primary sugya. The emerges kind of quoting it as a secondary machlokes. But now let's get into the shutters. V'chamim omrim, benkachu benkach pokebos. So we'll say, Samara again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah spoke about pekah kachalon, which are shutters. And as we pointed out yesterday, not the type of shutters that we're used to, which, you know, rest on the side of the house and then you could close them in when you want to, but rather actually a shutter that you would put it in and take it out. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Lazar said, you could put it in and take it out on Shabbos when? Bizman shu kasher v'talui. As long as it is, you need two things about Rabbi Lazar. Number one, that the shutter is tied to the window, or really tied to the structure. And number two, talui. Talui means it's suspended, i.e. that the shutter itself doesn't rest on the ground. That's what it sounds like, but rather is suspended. We'll see what it means. And if you don't satisfy those two criteria, Rabbi Lazar says that you cannot use the shutter on Shabbos, for it is a potential issue of binyan. And then the Chachamim say, ben kachu ben kach pokekimbo. The Chachamim say, no matter what, you can put the shutter back in. Now we'll have to see what exactly no matter what means. So it says the Gemara, let's analyze. My ben kachu ben kach. ultimately, what does it mean, ben kach ben kach? What does it mean? You know, either way, you're allowed to, so remember the Chum said, either way, you're allowed to put the shutters back into the window, back into the window. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Kahana, ben kasher, tap of kuf chavav, ben kasher, ben she'eno kasher. Whether, so we'll say, perhaps what it means is as follows. Whether the shutter is tied or not tied, v'hu shematukan. But Rabbi said, but the idea is you need it to be muchan. So maybe are the Chum, we're asking, are the Chachamim saying, or I should say, Rabbi Abba is saying Rav Kahana. What it means is as follows. According to the Chachamim, all you need is for the shutter to be prepared from Erev Shabbos, and then you are permitted to go ahead and use it to shutter the window on Shabbos. So it doesn't have to be tied to the structure, doesn't have to be suspended from the structure. As long as halacha lemaisa, that shutter was prepared from Erev Shabbos, you could put it in and out of the window on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'leima mar bein tali bein she'eno tali, v'hu shekasher. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, I don't understand, how do you know that? Maybe, because we'll remember again, the Chachamim are using an interesting lashon. So just to follow the progression of the Mishnah just for one moment. You have Rabbi Eliezer saying, or Rabbi Elazar saying, excuse me, Rabbi Elazar saying that halacha lemaisa, in order to shutter the window, you need two things. Kasher talui. It must be tied to the structure and suspended from the structure. The Chachamim say, bein kach u bein kach, either way, you could put the shutter back into the structure. So we're trying to figure out, what does bein kach u bein kach mean? What does it mean either way? So here, Rav Kahana is coming along and saying, bein kach u bein kach means the shutter need not be attached and the shutter need not be suspended. What does the shutter have to be? Prepared. Prepared. As long as it's prepared, then ultimately, again, you are ready to go. And once you're ready to go, no problem. Comes on the and says, I don't know, how do you know that? How do you know that? Maybe it means bein talui b'she'ino talui. Maybe halach v'hushi yikshar. Maybe no, maybe the shutter at least has to be tied to the structure. Because they both say, why? The act of tying it to the structure, at least in some way, makes it formally part of the structure. And just perhaps what the Chachamim don't require is that it doesn't have to be suspended. So it could be laying on the ground. That's absolutely fine. But it has to at least be tied to the structure. Do Amar Rabbi Abrahana Amar Rabbi Yochanan ki machlokes kan kach machlokes binagar hanigrar. So the same way there's a machlokes here, so too there is a machlokes ultimately in the case of nagar hanigrar. Now, so we're going to see nagar is a bolt. Rashi says over here nagar yosid shetokin b'chor shebemifton v'neolin ba'as hadala. So we'll say, so the nagar is a bolt, a door bolt. So hanigra, Rashi says, kidmefar shekasha badalas al shirosha nigra bar. So actually see what this means. So nagar hanigra literally means a dragging bolt. What's the case of the dragging bolt? Here we go, I will say this nan. Nagar hanigrar nolin boba mikdash avaloba medina. If you have a dragging bolt, which I will say sounds like a bolt that is on the ground, you could go ahead and use it to close a door in the Beis HaMikdash, but you cannot use it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's the pshat over here? Take a look at Rashi. Nolin boba mikdash, dechevan de kasher bo. Since, because I will say, apparently we're talking about a case where the bolt, although it is dragging, meaning it's laying on the ground, it is tied to the structure. So since it's tied to the structure, miyuchad va'omei tu lekach, u'kvar nivna, I'm reading Rashi, kvar nivna binyan zumi ba'od yom, ve'ein ba'ele gzeiras shavus midivrei, ve'ein shavus v'mikdash. See, they will say, if you have a bolt that's tied to the structure, but laying on the ground, the worst case scenario is that you're dealing with a dirabanan, right? For sure not a daraisa. So remember again, there are no dirabanans in the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting halacha, right? So rabbinic law does not apply inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore again, if you have a bolt that's attached to a structure, but laying on the ground, inside of the Beis HaMikdash, you can use it. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you can't use it. Midirabanan. V'hamunach. But I will say, what about a munach? Now what's the case of munach? Munach is if the bolt is just laying on the ground, unattached. So it's both laying and unattached, kan vikan aser. In both places, it will be aser. So I'll say, interestingly enough, what do you see from your according to this first opinion? That halacha lemaisa, if you have a bolt, and remember, whatever is going to apply to a bolt is going to apply to shutter as well, right? Shutter as well. So halacha lemaisa, what do you see from here according to this first opinion? If it's not attached and it's laying on the ground, halacha lemaisa, you can't bolt that door even in the Beis HaMikdash, for that would be a potential Isser de'oraisa of Binyan. Rashi says, v'hamunach she'eno kasher klal, Eloku shomto min achor manicha gabe karka hilcha kishetoko b'shabes bonahu v'yisro darei safu b'mikdash. So both say the Gemara says, according to this first opinion, if you were to take a bolt that is unattached, what it means unattached is when you were to take it out, you put it in a corner somewhere, and you were to re-bolt that on Shabbos, halacha l'maaseh said that would be an isra da'araisa. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, no, hamunach b'mikdash, Rabbi Huda disagrees. And Rabbi Huda holds that even munach, even if the bolt is not attached and laying on the ground, you could still use it in the Beis HaMikdash, v'hanigrar b'medina. But ultimately, again, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the bolt does have to be attached. Now, what's Rabbi Huda's logic? Take a look at Rashi. Hamunach mutar b'mikdash, d'cheivan d'metukan hume esmo lahachi la'boner. So, what's Rabbi Huda's sheet is as follows. Since it's clear that the use of this bolt is to bolt the door, it's ki'ilu, it's prepared already from Erev Shabbos, and therefore it's not mukta even if it's unattached. So we'll say, so you see from here, a fundamental machlokis by the bolt. Namely, again, does a bolt have to be attached or not? So it appears no one really requires it to be suspended, but does it have to be attached? The Tanakama clearly holds that halacha l'maisa, if it's unattached, right, if it's unattached, ultimately, again, you can't use it anywhere. Can't use it anywhere. If it's attached, but laying on the ground in the mikdash, you could use it. Outside of the mikdash, you can't use it. Rabbi Huda, even if it's not attached. Even if it's not attached, you could use it. So the words of Vitanya, Ezehu Nagar HaNigra, Shenol in Boba Mikdash, Aval Loba Medina. The Raisa says, so what is the Nagar HaNigra? What is this case of the dragging bolt, right? Because nigra literally means dragging. What is the case of the dragging bolt that you're allowed to use in the base of the mikdash, you can't use in the outside? Kol shekasher v'talui v'rosho magia la'aretz. Any time that the bolt is tied to the structure and it's suspended and the top of it hits the ground. So both say it's interesting. According to the Tanakamo, it sounds like Nagar HaNigrar is ultimately, again, that it touches the ground, but it doesn't lay on the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Af ze af medina mutar. No. If you literally have it tied and suspended. See, Rabbi Yehuda says that's called suspended. Suspended is when only, let's say, we'll call it the top of the bolt hits the ground, but we'll call it the bottom of the bolt, right? Or I guess it depends, top or bottom. You know, one end is touching the ground, but the other end is not. Rabbi Yehuda says that's called suspended. Suspended is mutar even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ze af medina mutar. Ela ezu shemedina azer kol sheino lo kasher velo talui v'shomto umanicho bekeren zavis. Rudy says, so what is the case ultimately again of the bolt that is going to be aser outside of the Beis HaMikdash? It's a bolt that's not tied, that's not suspended. When you take it off, when you take it out of the door, you simply put it in a corner. Says Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yeshua bar Av Mishrein Du'ula, Man Tana Tana HaNigrar. And the Gemara says, we asked, who is the Tana, who is the author of this Nagar HaNigrar? And I will say, now, what does that mean? Who is the author that says that you need both tied and suspended? Rabbi Eliezer, The Gemara says it is none other than Rabbi Eliezer, which I both say makes sense, because remember, what does Rabbi Eliezer say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer says by the shutters. I keep forgetting that. By the shutter, you need it to be kasher and taloi, right? You need it to be tied and suspended. So the same Tana who said that by the bolt, really ideally you need it to be tied and suspended, would say the same thing ultimately by the shutter. The rest of the Gemara says, Amrale ana da amri kiai tana. He said, you know what? I hold like a different tana. Disanya, here we go. Kaneshkino balabais lios poseach venoabo. If you have a kana, both say kana is a reed. So if you have a reed, this would be obviously like a stiff reed, a hard reed. So kaneshkino balabais lios poseach venoabo. If you have a reed that the balabais ultimately prepared to go ahead and use for opening and closing. So Chabot says, so which is in other words, you have a reed that's being used as a bolt. Then what? Bisman shekasher v'taloi v'pesach poseach v'noalbo. When it's tied and suspended in the doorway, then you are permitted to open and close it. Ein kasher v'taloi bo, no, ein kasher v'taloi. But ultimately, again, if it is not tied and suspended, ein poseach v'noalbo. Then halacha l'maisa, you cannot open and close it. So both say, so that opinion is the same thing, that Tanakam over here is the same opinion as Rabbi Eliezer. The school of thought that says that in order to use anything that is removable from the structure, to be able to put it in and put it out, halacha lemaisa has to satisfy two criteria: kasher, tied, and taloi, suspended. But watch this. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, mitukon af api she'eno kasher. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, as long as, in this case, we'll call it the bolt, the reed bolt, is prepared from yesterday. In other words, they're both saying that you had in mind that you were going to bolt and unbolt the door. Ultimately, again, mitukon af api she'eno kasher. As long as it is prepared, even if it's not tied, and of course, if it's not tied, it's not suspended. So even if it's not tied or suspended, halacha lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to go ahead and use it on Shabbos. So we'll say, so we begin to see, so you have now the two polar opposite approaches. Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that in general, whenever you have something that is used to, so we'll say, the chap over here is, these are items that are, quote unquote, adding on to the structure. So whenever you're saying that adds on to the structure, halacha lemaisa, how do you deal with that? Rabbi Eliezer says the only way to sidestep the issue of bona is how? To make sure that the item is attached and suspended. If it's attached and suspended, it's clear that halacha lemaisa, this is part of the structure, and it's clear, therefore, that putting it in is not an issue of bona. Comes on Reb Shimon Gamliel and says something dramatically different. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, all you need is to know that this is set aside. Rabbi said, by the way, if you notice again, this goes back to our discussion yesterday. Remember again, we spoke about it both, like, and Hilchos Tshuva. Like, how do you prepare something, or how do you change the status of something? Is it that the item must undergo some type of significant physical change? Or is it enough ultimately to cognitively designate it in a certain way, and that by definition endows it with identity? That's the machlokis over here also. So now I want to shutter my house on Shabbos. I want to be able to go ahead and put the bolt in on Shabbos. So how do I do that? How do I do that? So Rabbi Loza will say, it has to be clear in an objective physical fashion that this item is a part of your structure. And the only way to do that is how? Kasher talui. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no. No, and I will say, again, remember, we're not dealing with a srim doraisa. So as long as lemaisa, again, you have intent that you're going to utilize this item, then halacha lemaisa, that's enough. So as long as you have in mind, you're going to put the bolt back. As long as you have in mind that you're going to put the shutter back. Even if it's not kasher, even if it's not tied and certainly not suspended, it's okay. Machlokes, Sam Rabbi Yehuda bar Shilas, Am Rav Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, kereb shemen amya. So we'll say, now watch this. The Gemara makes a definitive statement. Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha follows Reb Shimon Gamliel. Namely, and I will say, no, understand, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Bepashtos, he's commenting on the specific case of the reed that is used as the door bolt. But of course, remember again, let's just trace back how we got into this. The Mishnah gave us the case of the shutter. Rabbi Elazar was very clear that you could only be shut in the house if what? If halacha lemaisa says kasher and talui, has to be tied and it has to be suspended. Chachamim came along and said ben kach hu ben kach, it's mutter. Gemara says, what does ben kach hu ben kach mean? Does ben kach hu ben kach mean that according to Chachamim you don't need either of those things, or ben kach hu ben kach means you don't need one of those things? So now we go through this progression, and it appears that the sheet of the Rabbanan is like the sheet of Reb Shimon Gamliel, namely that ben kach hu ben kach means you don't need kasher and talui, because what emerges is two dramatic different schools of thought about how you deal with this type of shuttered door bolt situation. The Rebbe Lazar school of thought that says halacha lemaisa must be kasher and talui, and the Chacham Rav Shimon Gamliel school of thought that says no, as long as you have it in mind before Shabbos. The Rebbe says there has to be some level of kavana. There has to be mitukon, right? It has to be readied. That's enough. So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that halacha lemaisa, as long as the item was mitukan, as long as it was prepared from Erev Shabbos, even if it is not kasher and talui, halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to go ahead and return it back on Shabbos. Umiyama Rabbi Yochanan hachi, but did Rabbi Yochanan actually say that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? After all, being merciful, Hatnan, we learned, kol kisui hakelim, any covers for utensils on the base, kol kisa kelim, sheyesh lahem base achiza. So this is actually very interesting. So any covering of utensils which have a handle Nitalin b'Shabbos. Ultimately, again, can be carried on Shabbos. So we're actually going to see this in just a little bit. We're going to see the covering of utensils. The shaila is if they have the designation of a kli onto themselves, right? Does a utensil cover have the designation of a kli onto itself? That you're going to see. It's the next Mishnah, but the Gemara is kind of jumping the gun a little bit on this. But nevertheless, we learned in the Mishnah, all kli coverings, right, as long as they have a handle, are permitted to be carried on Shabbos. So apparently what the Gemara is saying is, what the Mishnah is saying is, that the presence of a handle makes this cover into a kli. V'am Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rabasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'hush yesh toras kli aleihen. That's only, meaning the handle by itself is not enough to make it a kli. It's only a kli if ultimately the cover has the ability to function as its own independent kli. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. V'am Rabbi Yehuda, V'hush yesh aleih toras kli. Shakisui ro'i, as we'll say, it's the first line in Rashi, end of the first line. So we'll say this would mean that the pot cover is fit, right? Is usable ultimately again for its own tashmish, for its own use. The nitalan b'shabbos, v'im ein toras kli alav. But if ultimately again there is no designation of a kli on it, lo arminon kisui kli hava. The Gemara says, So we'll say, skip down a little bit. Skip down. Alma, Rabbi Yochanan, midi deleka toras kli alav, lo metaltin. I both say, no, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is as follows. Totally different discussion. Pot covers. But says Rabbi Yochanan, when can you carry a pot cover on Shabbos? Or I was supposed to say, this is not talking about removing a pot cover from the pot of food. That you're allowed to do. We're asking now, Stam, you have a pot cover. You want to move it on Shabbos. Can you move it on Shabbos? Essentially, Rabbi Yochanan says, you could only move it on Shabbos if it has the identity of a kli. So what do you see from here? Look at the last few lines of that Rashi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, midi deleka toras kli alav, lo metal kalina. So you see according to Rabbi Yochanan, that an item that does not have a designation of a utensil, you cannot carry on Shabbos. So we'll say, one second. So let's just digest this for just a moment. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, if you have a pot cover, I would like to go ahead and move that pot cover on Shabbos. Can I move it? Rabbi Yochanan says, it depends. What does it depend on? Does it have the designation of a utensil or not? If it has the designation of a utensil, you can move it. If it doesn't have the designation of a utensil, you can't move it. So one second. So Rabbi Yochanan, how do you allow me to move the reed door bolt on Shabbos? The reed door bolt doesn't have the designation. It's not a kli. Remember again, a kli is a very specific definition. Right? Kli usually means something that has a base kibble. Right? It usually has some type of receptacle. This is a hardened reed that's used as a door bolt. So how are you permitted to move it at all? It doesn't have a designation of a kli. Look at the end of that Rashi. He says, if it doesn't have a designation of a kli, it cannot be carried. My toras kli alav, and this reed, what identity of a kli does it have on it? The Gemara says, "Imishum de posech v'noel bo in b'zu toras kli alav el toras binyan." Rabbi Yosi will say, "One second, it has a function of a kli. Why it's used to open and close?" Rabbi Yosi say, "That doesn't make it a functional kli. If anything, what that makes it is a building utensil or a building implement." So Rabbi Yosi, see here the shaila. So the Gemara says, "V'chiteima hachanami dika toras kli alav." So maybe you'll say, maybe the door bolt, right, in this case, the reed door bolt, does have the designation of a kli. How does it have the designation of a kli? So we'll get Rashi for just a moment. You can always use it to turn over olives, or to go ahead and crack nuts. Apparently, this was a really hard read. So we'll say, so again, remember, I guess it was also flat. So you could use it to turn over olives, you could use it to crack nuts. As such, it does have the designation of a kli. Vatanya, we learned. Chario shel dekel. Shegardon l'shein. It's what we said yesterday already. The Brisa said that if you have a chario shel dekel, if you have a bundle of palm branches, shegardon l'shein eitzim, now really you harvested them, you gathered them for the sake of firewood. V'nim lach aleim yeshiva. And then you decided ultimately to go ahead and sit on them. Tzarech l'kasher. You have to tie them together. Which Shabbos says, another way of saying what? This goes back to yesterday's daf. The halacha l'maisa, if you have an item that is inherently muktzah. So for example, if you gathered wood for the sake of going ahead and burning it, right? So halacha l'maisa, again, that wood is muktzah. That wood is mukta. So the shaila now is, you have a change of heart, you don't want to use it as firewood. Instead, you want to go ahead and use it, you want to use it for sitting. So the shaila is now, how do you convert the pile of wood that was firewood mukta into a pile of wood used for sitting, which is mutter? So the Gemara says, so the Tanakhama says, you have to tie it together. So what you would have to do is, you'd have to go ahead and tie the wood together, because let's say apparently the act of tying the wood together shows that you're not using this for firewood, you're using it for sitting. No. You don't have to tie it together. So remember again, this is Reb Shimon Gamliel the Shitaso, right? Reb Shimon Gamliel holds in general that how do you establish the status of an item vis-a-vis Mukta on Shabbos? Cognitively. It's all about your das. It's all about your das. The same way the shutter doesn't have to be attached and suspended, the bolt doesn't have to be attached and suspended, and you don't have to do anything to the pile of wood either. All you need to do is have in mind, okay, I'm not burning it, I'm sitting on it. Again, it's the same pile of wood, but I'm using it now in a different way. And the decision to change the mode of use, by definition, changes the identity of the item. Rabbi Yochanan, Svir Le Kavasi Bechada, you'd have to say Rabbi Yochanan holds like him in one case and disagrees with him in a different case. So Rabbi Yochanan apparently holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in one case, like Rashi. So Rabbi Yochanan will agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel halacha lemaisa. That's what? That the pile of wood ultimately can be used even without tying it together if you just have a change in cognition or a change of intent. And he argues ultimately again on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in a different case. Or he argues in a different case where halacha lemaisa again that you do not need Torah's kli on the pot cover ultimately to go ahead and be able to carry it. All right, massive Rav Amram. So Rav Amram raised the kasha. Umidivreim v'madnu, and from their words we have learned. So this is going to be a gemara that we'll see a little bit later on. Midivreim v'madnu shepokekin umodedin v'koshrin b'shabbos. We'll say from their words we learned that you are permitted. Now, again, we'll see this sugya later on, but pokikin, Rashi says over here, es hamor bedavar she'eno kasher v'taloi. Suppose you're permitted to shutter your window, even if the shutter is not tied and suspended. That's pokikin, right? Modedin means you're permitted to go ahead and measure, and kosherin, you are permitted to go ahead and tie. So we'll see. Rashi says kosherin is kasher shein shachayama. You could tie an impermanent knot even lechatchila. And modedin, Rashi says, is mikva umat lanya. So again, we'll see these cases. And I will say, now watch this. Now here you have a brisa that indicates that what? That halacha lemaisa, sounds like that halacha of Shimon Gamliel. Namely, you could shutter a window with a shutter even if it wasn't tied or suspended. To which the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye mai dateich. Mishum diktani stama nagar hanigra. Mishum diktani stama. So Abai says again, what is it that you're wondering about? Is it because that halacha lemaisa you have a stam mishnah nagar hanigra nami stama? Well, the case of nagar hanigra is also a stam. It's also a stam mishnah. So like we saw before, the Gemara says v'afilu hachi ma'aserav. Nevertheless, supposed to have ma'aserav. Now the ma'aserav over here is ma'aserav. Normally means that whenever you have a statement of halacha versus testimony about something that actually happened, generally the testimony about what happened is considered to be stronger, which makes sense. Because I will say, think about this just a moment. You see, remember, we're talking about, of course, the days before a Shulchan Aruch, right? So today, you want to know what to do, you open up a Shulchan Aruch. I will say, but understand, in times of the Gemara, where you have all of these different opinions flying around, so sometimes the most definitive proof you could bring to any one thing is when you say, I saw so-and-so doing this. When you saw people acting on their particular positions, that was a very strong statement. So Rav Amram comes along and Rav Amram says that I saw, midivrehem. Midivrehem also means from the things we saw them doing, the them is some rabbanim, things we saw them doing, pokekin, molded in the kosher. So the Gemara says, even if you have a stam mishnah that seems to point in a different direction, halacha lemaisa, the ma'aserav, the actions or the statement of Rav Amram is very powerful. So we'll say, and indeed, that's how the Rama Paskins. The Rama Paskins is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, namely that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and shutter the windows, you can bolt the doors. Even halacha lemaisa, again, if the items are not tied and suspended, for it is cognition that ultimately changes the identity of the item, which Shabbos again, as we pointed out yesterday, is profound in a halachic sense and is also incredibly profound in a hashkafic sense. That we see from here from Hilchos Muktzah, an incredible insight into Hilchos Tshuva, that although, of course, you have to change, the person has to change, I have to change my behaviors, I have to change what I do, I have to change, ultimately, again, how I live, and very often aspects of my lifestyle in dramatic ways, but Lamaisa, the pathway to Tshuva, doesn't even have to begin with a Maisa, it could just begins with Machshava, because Machshava thought affects change, you know, Rabbi Soloveitchik and actually Rav Gifter in his sefer Hurei Tshuva both discuss this idea of this concept of the Rav calls it like pre-actional tshuva. Rav Gifter calls it Hurei Tshuva. It's the same idea that there is this notion. They're both actually medayik in Rambam Parak Aleph Halach Aleph in Hilchos Tshuva because Loshon of the Rambam is Kishi Yasa Tshuva Chayev Lehisvados. So both Rav Gifner and Rabbi Soloveitchik bring up this idea. Why do you have to say Kishiyasa Tshuva Chayev Lisvados? Just begin with saying Chayev Lisvados. You have to confess. I mean Kishiyasa Tshuva. So they both understand the Rambam statement of when a person does Tshuva, Kishiyasa Tshuva refers to a pre-actional part of Tshuva. So what's the pre-actional? It's cognitive Tshuva. What's cognitive Tshuva? The moment that I have this epiphany that life has to be different. The moment that I have this epiphany that I just have to do things differently. I haven't changed anything yet, right? Nothing's changed, nothing's altered. But Lamaisa, I know that something has to be different. Unless you think that thought is not significant, that Rambam codifies it as part of Halacha Lamaisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel accepts Halacha Lamaisa Milchus Mukta. Good. Mishnah. Kisui Hakelim. They both say, now the truth is in general, with attaching items that are not detached, that are detached. So the halachas get a bit more complicated in different scenarios, but big adol, you have that position of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Good, bite there. Says the Mishnah, Kisui Hakelim, Shabbos, we just saw this quoted before. Kisui Hakelim, Sheish Lam Beis Achiza. Shabbos, if you have a pot cover, right? Or when I say pot, I don't mean dafka, pot, meaning a cover to utensil that has a handle, Nitalin b'Shabbos. Ultimately, again, it is carried on Shabbos. You can carry it on Shabbos. You can move it on Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Yosef. When is that so? B'kisui karkos. We'll say that's only true when you have a covering for the ground. Now we'll say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. B'kisui karkos. Kigon kisui bor vidus. Davi kibona ilav muchacha de'imlav de'muchacha be'sachize delay. De'le mishkal v'adrayver. So listen to this. This is actually quite fascinating. So the Mishnah begins with a general statement. The general statement is that halacha lemaisa, anytime you have a covering for a utensil, if you want to move that on Shabbos, it requires a handle. So the Mishnah says, by the way, when is that? That's only, listen to this, for coverings to cover the ground. So we'll say, imagine the following situation. You have, whatever you're referring to over here, essentially like a Talmudic manhole. So imagine you have a hole in the ground. You don't want the hole in the ground ultimately to what? To go ahead and cause anyone danger. So what do? You put a cover on it. So halacha lemaisa, now we'll say, here's the problem. The Mishnah says, doesn't that cover effectively become like part of the ground? Right? And therefore, again, putting it in or removing it becomes a problem of binyan and stira. So how do you avoid that issue? You put a handle on it. Right, I will say, because once you go in and you put a handle, what does a handle represent? I will say, there's a reason why manholes don't have handles. And that's why. Exactly. Besides the flat tires, because no one wants you lifting it up. That's the ma'isa of the reason. So therefore, again, the Mishnah says something very interesting over it. The Mishnah says that Allah l'ma'isa, if you have an opening in the ground and you put something on top of it, so again, l'ma'isa, if there's no handle, that indicates that you want it to remain there. If there's a handle, that indicates that it's only to be lifted up and put back. So the Gemara says, so I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Kisei Kakos. So we'll say, also remember, I want to point out that Tanakama doesn't make any distinction. The Tanakama makes a blanket statement. And the blanket statement is that if you want to move pot covers on Shabbos, or I keep saying pot, but it's utensil covers on Shabbos, the utensil cover requires a handle. Comes along Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, when is that true? Only the Kisei Kakos. Only with covers that cover openings in the ground. But however, Rabbi Kisei Akelim, Benkach Lubenkach Nitalon B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef says, when it comes to coverings of utensils, essentially, Yossi says, the covering has the same status as what? as the utensil. So therefore, just like the utensil is not mukta, the covering is not mukta either. Whether it has a handle, doesn't have a handle, is fundamentally irrelevant. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'hu sheyesh toras kli alehen. When is this so that you could move the covers of utensils? That is only true when halacha lemaisa, the cover is functional for something. I was about to say the cover itself has to be has to be able to serve some type of purpose. Rashi says the kisuyon halalu chazul tashmish da'alma. It has to be usable for something. For something, the Gemara says. Rashi says ava kisui kli lo aminan klihu. But just because something is the covering of a utensil, that doesn't automatically endow it with utensil status. So I'm also here the Gemara is qualifying. So Rabbi Yehuda is coming along qualifying the statement. When do we say that the coverings of utensils can be moved? They're both saying, even according to the Tanna Kamma, who says that it doesn't according to Rabbi Yosi, who says that it doesn't need a handle, but it still has to serve a function. The Gemara says, Dukholi Amma Kisei Karko Usim Yeishlem Beis Achiza in Ilo Lo. Everyone agrees with what? Everyone agrees that Halacha Lamaisa, when you have a kisui, when you have a covering that covers an opening in the ground, everyone will agree that Halacha Lamaisa, you could, this is a first. I think, members, this is definitely a first. Good. It's amazing. You know, the Satan works in all kinds of ways. It's fascinating to see. Nothing when it comes to it's just incredible. When it comes to Ruchnias, nothing ever goes fully smoothly. It's always got Satan always throws in a hiccup. So the Gemara says as follows. I guess even Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, "Lechol Bnei Yisrael lo yecharatz kelev l'shono." So I guess we're not yet at the time of Geula. And Eretz Hashem will get there. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, "Dechuli ama," because when it comes, remember, "Kisei karkos imeish lahem." Dechuli ama kisei karkos imeish lahem beis achiza in ilo lo. They will say when it comes to the coverings of karka, right? When it comes to the coverings on the ground, everyone agrees that you could only move the kisui karka if it has a handle, which I will say is logical and intuitive, right? Because remember, without a handle, that cover what? The cover what? Becomes part of the ground. So basically, the only time you could really go ahead and move it is if it has a handle. Ilolo, kisya kelim, afa gav de'ein lehem beis achiza. So too the Gemara suggests, so we'll say everyone will agree that by kisui kelim, even if it doesn't have a handle, you can move it. Why? Because we will say the same way that the kisui karka without a handle what becomes part of the karka, and therefore, so kisui kelim is also part of what? Part of the kli, and just like the kli is mutter, so the kisui is mutter. So where's the machlok? Is kipligi the kelim dechabrinu ba'arab? Interesting case. We'll say what happens if you have a kli that you attached to the ground? Mar sever gazrinon. So what happens if you have a cleave that you like cement it to the ground? So we'll say, you attach to the ground. So one opinion says, well, if it's attached to the ground, then it's really like kisui karka. If it's like kisui karka, then you can only move the cover if it has a handle. If it doesn't have a handle, you can't. Umar sarva lo gazvinon. And the other opinion says, no, we're not worried about it. I will say that there's a fundamental distinction between the kisui kli and the kisui karka. That halacha lemaisa kisui kli, a utensil cover, always has the status of the utensil. And therefore, halacha lemaisa can be moved whether or not it has its handle. And even if you have a kli that's attached to the ground, that cover is still called the kisui kli. That's not called kisui karkos. Which I will say makes sense, because remember, kisui karkos is something very specific. What's unique about kisui karkos? What's unique about them? Think about it just a moment. What's unique? At least it would appear from the Gemara describing it is, it's flush with the ground. Right? It's part of the karka. So that already is different. Even if you have a kli that's attached to the ground, l'maisa, it still has the tsuras ha-kli. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, its cover will be reckoned like a cover. So the Gemara says, lishna achrina, the other possibility is, ki pligi b'kisei tanur. The other possibility is, where they're arguing? They're arguing the case of a covering of a tanur. Right? Excuse me, covering of a tanur. Covering of an oven. Mar midamile l'kisei karko. One opinion says that since the tanur is always attached to the karko, so therefore, again, the covering of a tanur is just like the covering of karko, and therefore, you can only move it if it has a handle. But if it doesn't have a handle, you can't go ahead and move it. Umar medamile the kisui kelim. The other opinion says, no, that still a tanur is not karko, it's kelim, and therefore its cover is like kisui kelim as well. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, the Rambam adapts the position of, or the distinction of Rabbi Yosi, that halacha lemaisa, kisui karko requires kisui karka requires a handle, right? It requires a base achiza. Because kisui karka, saying that it's there to cover up an opening in the ground, effectively becomes part of the ground, unless, of course, you clearly indicate that it's not. And how do you clearly indicate that it's not? By going ahead, halach l'maisa, putting a handle on that. So if it has a handle, then you could remove it. But if it doesn't have a handle, then halach l'maisa becomes part of the karka, you can't remove. But kisui kalim, so ultimately, again, the covering for utensils, even without a handle, ultimately you can move it on Shabbos. But that cover does have to have some type of tzura. It does have to have some type of kli functionality as well. Hadron aloch kolakir. We'll say mazel tov. Mazel tov. Brand new parak. Mefanin. Afilu me'arva v'chamesh kupo shal tevin. V'shal tuam ne'arach ne'bidol v'esmesh. We'll say very interesting case. Here's the situation. Aloch v'lemaisa. I have something. Now again, we're going to see what the something is. But lemaisa, I have, let's say, produce, unprocessed produce, for argument's sake, or for that matter, any item that could technically, that doesn't really serve a direct purpose for me on Shabbos, but I need the space. So what happens? So for example, so we'll translate and we'll explain. So mefana means you could clear away, afilu arba v'chamish kupos, even four or five kupos, bundles, right? We'll call it bundles. A kupa literally means like a basketfuls, right? So you could go ahead and clear away even four or five bundles, shel teven of straw, v'shel tevua, or of wheat. Now, let's remember again, neither straw nor wheat are really usable on Shabbos. Now, of course, straw could be fed to animals, but let's say you already fed your animals on Shabbos. So the mice say, again, I have these items that are effectively mukta, but I need the space that they occupy. So I could go ahead and move away four or five bundles of wheat or of straw. Mipnea archin, let's say also because I'm having company. I need to make room for my company. I could clear it out. Umipnei bitol beis medrash. Or, let's say again, I'm giving a shir, right? Or there's somebody left his stuff in the beis medrash. And again, I want to be able to clear it out so that people have place to be able to sit in the beis medrash. So you're supposed to say, salocha lemaisa, you are permitted to go ahead and do this on Shabbos. And Rashi points out over here, in Tzarech Leishiv Lemkoron Lahoshisham Archim Lahase Bisuda, O Tamidim Ledrasha, Velo Chashin Latircha the Shabbos. I will say that interestingly enough, Rashi doesn't bring up anything regarding Mukta. There's nothing regarding Mukta. Rather, what Rashi brings up over here is the issue of Tircha on Shabbos. Now I will say, this is actually quite fascinating. What's the concept of Tircha on Shabbos? So again, Tircha on Shabbos. So Tirchan Shabbos gets into the, you know, we'll say, you know how, like, especially when you were a kid, you might have asked your parents about if you could do this on Shabbos, and the most frustrating answer you could get as a child is, it's not Shabbos Day. Right? So, what does that mean, right? It's not Shabbos Day. So there is a concept like that. It's not Shabbos Day. In other words, there are things that may not be usher, but you're not supposed to do it on Shabbos. Like, I'll give a perfect example. Can you rearrange your living room furniture on Shabbos? You decide you have an epiphany. You want the love seat over here, the recliner over here, the couch over here, and the big screen. Well, not the big screen. You can't touch it on Shabbos. On a technical level, there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's no malacha. But again, let me say it's called Tircha de Shabbos. So there's a concept that you are supposed to avoid unnecessary exertion on Shabbos. That's part of the menucha of Shabbos. So even though this moving around, these kupo, shel tevin, or shel tevua, ultimately are going to go ahead and represent exertion on Shabbos, halacha l'maisa, you're permitted to go ahead and do it. Why? Because there's a need. You need the space. You need for the archim, you need for the talmidim. But ultimately, again, but not the otzer. So we'll say again, we'll see exactly what that means. Otzer means the storehouse. The Gemara goes on. Now the Gemara says, by the way, what type of wheat or what type of produce can you move? So you can go ahead and move Truma Tahora. Okay, you can move Truma Tahora. Or Dimai. So, or Maiser Rishon Shenitla Truma. So, or Maiser Rishon that has a Truma taken from it. Or Maiser Sheni Behekdish Sheniftu. Or Maiser Sheni that was redeemed. Or Hekdish that was redeemed. Vahaturmos Hayavish. Or even a turmos literally is a lupine, right? So you could go ahead and, or if it's dried out, you could use it because it's food for goats. Or in other words, Rabbi Say, or in other words, saying, you could only move things that are usable on Shabbos, right? So all of the items mentioned over here have some type of technical use. for consumption by a kohen, the animal of a kohen, for other animals. So the mice, again, it has to be usable. However, for example, you can't move tevel. Why can't you move tevel? Tevel is on tithe produce. Why can't you move tevel? Because the mice, again, tevel is not really usable on Shabbos. You can't tithe it on Shabbos, and it's not usable for anything. Or Maiserishon Shalonet L'Chumas, or if you have Maiserishon, right, which is the portion of the levy, and the levy didn't give his Chumas Maiser, also unusable on Shabbos. But those Maiser Sheni Hektish Shalniftu, and it will say Maiser Sheni and Hektish that were not redeemed, because remember again, this is presupposing you're not in Yerushalayim. If you have Maiser Sheni or Hektish that was not redeemed, so ultimately you can't go ahead and use that on Shabbos either. You can't move that on Shabbos. Veloas haluf, veloas achardo. You also can't move luf and you can't move chardo. So we'll say chardo we know is mustard seed. What's luf? If you take a look at Rashi, it's four lines up from the bottom. Luf min kitnius she'ino roi chaya filo behemam. So apparently luf is a type of legume that no one eats. Even animals don't eat it. That's how bad it is. Or unedible. Or inedible it is. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Omer says, no. You could move luf on Shabbos. Why? Because it is edible. Who is it edible by? Mipnei shu meichel arvin. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, ravens eat it. Now, it's interesting. If you look at Rashi, what does it mean, ravens eat it? Rashi says, Kigon ashirim shemegadlin arvin l'gdula. So this is apparently, it's fascinating. In times of the Gemara, rich people used to, I guess, breed or have ravens. They used to have ravens. So I say, it was a status symbol. So if you have ravens, so therefore, apparently, ravens eat luf. Okay? Chavile kash, vichavile itzin, vichavile zradim. So we'll say if you have bundles of straw, bundles of wood, or zradim, so we'll say Rashi points out over here that zradim are min kanim heim shem zardi kishem rakiv okum also. So zradim are soft reeds. So in his schema lamaicha behim metalkanos, as well as in all these cases, if you readied these bundles, so his skinon, once again, we'll have to say, what does hiskinon mean? Does hiskinon mean that I physically designated them, that I physically did something to them, or does hiskinon mean what? I just had in mind. So if you prepared them, right now we could prepare it for Meichel Behemah, Metaltonoson, then you could carry it on Shabbos. Ve'im lav, im Metaltonoson. But Allah Lamaise, if not, you cannot carry it. So says the Gemara, Hashda, Chamesh Mefanin, Arba Miboy. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Mishnah said, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Allah Lamaise, you could clear away four or five bundles of straw or of wheat on Shabbos because of the Archin. Right? Because you need room for guests, you need for the basement. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do you have to say four or five? If you tell me five, by definition, what does that include? Four. So what's the Pshat? Hashda, Chamesh Mefanin, Arba Miboy. I'm Rav Chista, Arba Michamesh. What we'll say, what it means is as follows. The Mishnah is going to teach you a very important halacha. While it is true that you could clear out bundles of straw or bundles of wheat that are occupying space that you might need for your guests or that you might need for the Beis Medrash, you can't totally clear out the area. In other words, that halacha lemaisa, you do have to go. So if, let's say, there are five bundles sitting in your dining room or five bundles sitting in the Beis Medrash, you could clear out up to four of them. Up to four of them. You can't clear out everything. Rashi says, Arba mechameshim, lo hayasham ela kishir he kupos, lo yifne ela dalad mehem, sha'asar ligmar esa otsar, dilma chazi gumos bekarkos umashle. So what's the concern? This is fascinating. The concern is that if you clear out all of them, what may happen? You may find that as a result of the bundles being there, their ground is not level. And if the floor is not level, what might you do in times of the Gemara? Sweep it. And sweeping it on Shabbos ultimately again will be a problem of hashva'as gumos, will be a problem ultimately of going in and straightening out depressions, which inside of the house is a problem of binyan. Ikad amri, others say arba me'otzer katan v'chamesh me'otzer gadol. Ultimately, others say Abba said that what does it mean? Figure clear out up to four bundles if you have a small storehouse and five bundles from a larger storehouse. So it says the Gemara, Umay avaloas ha'otzar. But what does it mean, not the otzar? Shelo yaschil ba'otzar tchila. That halacha lemaisa, you should not go ahead and start clearing out from the major storehouse from the beginning on Shabbos. Rashi says, look at this. Rashi says, tchila, imlo hischil ba'ol estav menu kvar lemalachto o lemachal behemto dimkein havale mukta umasiz Rabbi Yehudi. So we'll say, what does it mean? So when we give you this allowance to go ahead and clear out stuff, so it appears The way the Gemara is really looking at this case, and with this we'll stop, is that halacha l'maisa, we're talking about a case over here where you have a room where you store wheat or you store straw. Now you need, Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of company, the dining room is not big enough, we're going to house the company in our storehouse. Or the base medrash is closed, we're going to go ahead and have shear in the storehouse. So now the Mishnah says, no problem, you could clear out some of the produce inside of the storehouse for the sake of, for the making room for your company for the base medrash. What the Mishnah then goes on to is give limitations on that. Either it means you could clear up, if you have five bottles, you could only clear up four. Or if it's a large storehouse, five. If it's a small storehouse, four. The idea is you can't clear out everything. Why? Because we're concerned that if you clear out everything, what may happen? You may come to sweep the floor in order to level it out. And of course, that's a problem of building on Shabbos, inside of a domicile. The other thing, what does it mean, law as ha'otzar? What it means is all of this only applies to a storehouse that you are already regularly using. But if it's a storehouse, for example, that you've been storing stuff in, and you've never really utilized, in other words, you've never accessed the produce being stored inside of it, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, that storehouse is off limits on Shabbos. Why? Because since you've never really accessed it from the beginning of Shabbos, from before Shabbos, halacha l'maisa, essentially you set it aside for non-use, and once you set it aside for non-use, halacha l'maisa, you cannot begin to use it on Shabbos. We'll stop over here again. To all of those joining us on Zoom, a great zechus to be able to learn with all of you. Wonderful to see all of you. For those of you who are joining us here in the Beis Medrash, also an incredible zechus to be able to restart our shir, to be able to restart our davening. And Emirat Hashem, this week should be the beginning of many, many, many years of us learning together virtually, Emirat Hashem, but in person as well. Shkach Abosei.